Luke chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 17. Luke chapter 10, and verse 17. It says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So tonight I'd like to look at some things that are connected with, as it says there in verse 20, the fact that we have a citizenship in heaven, that our names are written in heaven. The fact that we are citizens of heaven, some things that are connected with that. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. God, I'm thankful for a chance to preach your word. God, I'm thankful for each person that's here. And Lord, we've come not to hear what a man might come up with, but God, we've come to hear your word. Lord, we've come to have you minister to us. And Father, I acknowledge that I am completely incapable of feeding your sheep. And God, I pray that you would just have your way this evening. Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you'd wash me clean. Lord, that you'd help me to preach those things that are needful. Father, I pray that you'd use me. Father, we need you. I need you. God, we're thankful that you've written our name down in heaven. Lord, we're thankful that we have a home in heaven. God, we look forward to the day that we meet your dear Son face to face. Lord, we look forward to the day when all of our problems are gone in an instant, when all of our troubles are rolled away. There's no sickness, no sorrow, no death. God, we look forward to that day when we arrive in the land of our citizenship. And God, we pray that you'd help us to rejoice as we look at some of these things this evening. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now these 70 disciples were very excited. They were charged up. They were on the mountaintop. Man, everywhere they went, even the devils, they were casting out spirits. They were healing people. I mean, boy, were things going well. It was really good. As far as man would look at it, you'd say great revival had swept through Israel, through Jerusalem. And even the Lord acknowledged that these were wonderful things. What was so wonderful about it is that God had prophesied that it would be this way. And now, as the Son of God comes on the scene, his power is being demonstrated, and the power of his name is being demonstrated. So that at the name of Jesus, even these devils are being cast out. But he says in verse 20, or even verse 19, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. They are bulletproof. They are invincible. Nothing's going to hurt them. God's going to keep them. Nothing's going to hurt them. Now, we have people today that believe they're bulletproof. We have people today that believe that they fulfill this scripture, that God's done for them what he did for these 70.
And listen, it's just not right. It's not right. These disciples are an example of the believer in many ways, but not in every way. And they're an example of followers of Christ. They're an example of and are promised some things that we are also promised. For instance, John chapter 14, who is he speaking to in John chapter 14? Disciples. But don't we think he's going to prepare a place for us? We apply that to us. But he says here in verse 20, which I think we can apply, the last part of verse 20 to ourselves. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. He says, that's not the big deal. That's not what you should be excited about. These are just outward and visible manifestations of something much, much bigger. Much, much more important. Much more valuable. And that's this. But rather rejoice. Here's what a person should rejoice in. Because your names are written in heaven. Well, that's it. We're citizens of heaven. No, we're not untouchable here on this earth. Very much like it is in the kingdoms of this earth. I mean, we had a U.S. citizen beheaded on a foreign land, unprotected, just brutally, without any reason, without any justification, just murdered. Beheaded. No protection. Now listen, God hasn't left us that way in this world. We have some protection. But listen, there have been many a saint beheaded for the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified for the Lord Jesus Christ, burnt at a stake, imprisoned, beaten, starved to death. Our citizenship's not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. When we are in heaven, we are bulletproof. We will be invincible. We will be immortal. We will be uncorruptible. But while we're here, we're not at home. But we can joy in the fact that even though God gives us blessings, like He blessed these folks with certain gifts, certain abilities, certain powers, certain protections, that the far greater thing is what's out in eternity for us. Our citizenship. It's not here. It's out in the future. It's in heaven. It's in heaven. It's in an eternal place. It's in a place that is incorruptible. Not only can we rejoice in the fact that we have a citizenship in heaven, but we can rejoice in the fact that, like the disciples are going to reign in the future because of their heavenly citizenship, because their names are written in heaven, we too will someday reign. We too will someday be kings and priests, it says in the first chapter of Revelation. Look over in Luke chapter 22 and verse 30. Again, the Lord speaking to His disciples. Luke chapter 22 and verse 30. We too, one day, will be exalted. Now listen, we'll never be exalted the way the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted. I mean, we will always, when we're exalted, we will always be ruling and reigning with Christ, not over Christ, not instead of Christ. Christ, it's still Christ's kingdom, it's still Christ's reign. He just allowed us to reign with Him as kings and priests. And here He says to His disciples in Luke chapter 22 and verse 30, that ye may eat and drink at My table and My kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He promised these disciples that one of these days they were going to sit on thrones and rule over the nations of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And He's promised us the very same thing. But one of these days, as kings and priests, will reign. That's not down here. Now, we have a lot of religious leaders who believe they sit on thrones and rule and reign with a rod of iron. We have a fellow over in Rome that believes that he reigns in the place of Christ over this earth today. But he doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't. But one of these days, we're going to rule on a throne. And we are going to judge cities, nations, and judge among people. So we have a citizenship in heaven. And we have before us, we have in the future, a reign on a throne. Turn to John chapter 14 and verse 2. John 14 and verse 2. Not only do we have a throne, but we have a place prepared for us in heaven. John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now you say, why are we going over this? This stuff's pretty basic. Listen, because just like those 70 disciples got all caught up with what was happening on earth and what was being accomplished and got to thinking that that was the real important thing, the real important thing's out in the future. Now, yes, the things we do today have some connection with the future. In fact, if the Bible says if we suffer with Him, we'll also reign. Are you willing to suffer? Listen, suffering's not so pretty. Suffering's not so desirable. Suffering's not something that people get first in line to do most of the time. It's not something we look forward to. But suffering's connected with the right to reign. So, in this life, we're going to have troubles, we're going to have tribulations, but we're not to get all caught up in it. In this life, we're going to have victories and blessings, but we're not to get all caught up in that. We're to look out to a place that's prepared for us in a land that we're a citizen of, where we're someday going to rule and going to reign. Looking forward, looking future, looking in the future. Boy, don't you get tired of hearing people live in the past, whether the past is good or whether the past is bad? Now listen, there's a whole book, the whole shelf full of books back there, wonderful books. But you know what? A lot of those things, if you add it up, is the praise of God, but of man, in some victory in the past. Good examples. I love to read them. But a lot of times it's just looking back at what was done. And you know what? They're not Scripture, right? Do you agree with that? Fox's Book of Martyrs is not Scripture. Could it be wrong? Could some of those facts be wrong? They could be wrong, right? Because man wrote it. Man wrote it. Now, if God inspired it, God penned it and all that, we'd call it Scripture, it'd be perfect. But you know what? I believe this. There's probably some things that are exaggerated in some of these books back there. That's possible, right? Now listen, there's also probably a lot of details left out that we wouldn't even know about. It's even worse. You say, what is the point? When man always is looking to the past, he inflates its importance. He inflates it. But when we will look into the future as to what God's got us here for, then we'll be following the Lord. We won't be trying to replicate some revival that took place in the past, some movement that took place in the past and all that. We'll just be trying to do what the Lord wants us to do in the future. I believe God wants forward-looking Christians. Yes, we can learn from the past. We usually don't. But we've got a lot to look forward to in the future. All right, now let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Another thing connected with our citizenship. I have never been overseas in military duty. I've never been in military duty, period. But I believe that if I were in Iraq, like John was in Iraq, I believe if I was one of those soldiers over there in Iraq, and the President of the United States came over and showed up on my base, I believe that would be a morale boost. I believe that would give me a charge. I believe I would get, I'd get something out of that. I believe it would be a boost. Well, one of these days, the king of our home, the king of our country, is going to come back. We're going to meet him. When it happens, it's going to be electric. When it happens, it's going to be a charge. When it happens, we'll never, ever be the same. When it happens, we'll be with him forever. It's not going to be a visit. It's not going to be a visit. It's going to be a marriage. It's going to be a uniting. A uniting. Here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 it says, "For our conversation is in heaven." It's not the things that are going on down here that are important. Yes, we need to be engaged. Yes, we need to be winning souls. Yes, we need to be studying the Word. Yes, we need to be good stewards of the Word. But it's not what's happening here that's going to be important. It's what's going to happen in heaven. It's what God's going to do. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Are you looking for Him? Are you looking? It'll bring great joy if you do. Say, why emphasize Christ coming back? There's so much to take care of today. Why emphasize Christ coming back? Because we're instructed to comfort one another with those words. Because it brings joy. It ought to bring joy. It ought to bring anticipation. It ought to lift us out of our present situation while we anticipate His return. And He's coming back. Surer than this world, He's coming back. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away." It's more sure than this world. I mean, I can feel this pulpit, but it's more sure than this pulpit. It's more sure that He's coming than that this pulpit is here right now. More sure than that. All right, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We have a citizenship. We're going to rule and reign someday. We have a residence there. There's a place for us. And He's coming back. We're going to meet Him. But here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4, there are also some things waiting for us in heaven. Waiting there. I want to tell you right now, you're rich folks. You are wealthy by anybody's standards. You're wealthy by Bill Gates' standards. You are wealthy folks. Wealthy folks. The one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills too. The one who owns all the oil of this earth, every precious stone, every precious mineral, every ounce of riches. He's prepared an inheritance for us. It's waiting for us. It's waiting just beyond this life. It's waiting in glory. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "To an inheritance incorruptible." That's what's in our homeland. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. No matter how long we live on this life, it's not going to get old. It's not going to rust. It's not going to fade away. When we get there, it's going to be there. And when we get there, we're going to have it. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Your name on it. It's yours. And mine is mine. And it's just waiting out there. It's waiting in heaven. Remember that next time you're paying the bills for the month. Remember that next time when things don't add up just right. Remember that the next time when you have some kind of financial hardship. You're wealthy. You're rich. You're rich. All that you got to do is just get through this life into the next. Into the next. You say, "Man, I want to take a shortcut and get there fast." No, doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. But it's there. It's there to enjoy right now. It's there to enjoy right now. Just like the fact that our name is in heaven is there to enjoy right now. Listen, I heard today about a preacher who said about a person that just got saved 2 weeks ago that their name was written in heaven and only they could take their name out of that book. Well, I tell you what, they might as well put that in disappearing ink for me. They might as well just write it in disappearing ink for me, because I'd have never been able to. I wouldn't have lasted the 2 weeks. Look for him. He's made it 2 weeks. I wouldn't have lasted the 2 weeks if it was up to me to keep my name written in the book of life. I couldn't get it there in the first place. How am I going to get it out? Right? And so God's put it there. He's written it there. And he's given us some inheritances, some things that we inherited, that we inherit that are connected with our name that's been written down. And they're undefiled, and they fadeth not away. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Turn to Revelation chapter 21, and verse 27. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. It says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth." We're going to a place that is clean. Clean. Clean place. We're going to a place that's holy. We don't know what real holiness is yet. We don't know what real holiness is. You know what? If man could see real holiness in this life, it would scare him to death. We've got a lot of examples of that. When Moses comes down off the hill after having been 40 days with God, it scared the people to death. They said, "Put a veil over your face. You scare us." And Moses was just in the presence of holiness. He didn't represent holiness. When Isaiah was in the presence of God, it scared him to death. It impressed him. He said, in the presence of holiness, Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, in the presence of holiness said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." In the presence of that holiness, he saw his unrighteousness. He's impressed with his own unrighteousness in the presence of holiness. But this is a holy place, a clean place, a holy place, a clean place. "And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth." No unrighteousness there. No sin there. Can you imagine a place where there's no sin? Can you imagine a place where the only influence is the influence to do right? Where the only influence is to reverence and to worship God? Can you imagine being in a place? Can you imagine being amongst people? Can you imagine a setting where all we want to do is learn, is to see more of Jesus, see more of the throne, see more of His glory, to give Him more glory, to praise Him, to acknowledge that He's worthy. That's the place we're headed to. "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination." You know what? There'll be no schisms. There'll be no church split in heaven. There'll be no undercurrent in heaven. There won't be somebody saying, "Well, you know, we were at the throne yesterday, but man, there's got to be something better we can do today." Or, you know, "Why does he sit on the throne all the time? You know, somebody else ought to have a chance." It won't be any of that. It won't be any of it. It'll be an entirely different element in heaven. All of our envy, gone. All of our jealousy, gone. All of our self-promotion, gone. All of our pride, all of our lies, all of our manipulations, all of those things, gone. There will be no abomination. There will be no element there that will bring an abomination to God. It says, "Neither whatsoever worketh abomination." Not going to be that kind of undercurrent going on. "Or maketh a lie." Be nobody up there exaggerating on how many souls they won. Be nobody up there exaggerating on anything in this life. Be nobody up there covering up their sins. Not going to happen. Nobody covering up what they did in this life. You know, well, I was perfect. That was just one thing, you know. No lies. No lies. We're all going to come clean. We're all going to come clean. Because all of our works are going to be shown. It's hard to deny something when you're right there, when God shows you the whole thing. And so there'll be no lie. There'll be no lie. There'll be no desire to lie. It says, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's who will be there. That's what will be there. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have all these things to look forward to. All these things stored up for you. All these things registered in your name in heaven, waiting for you. And yet in this life, if there's a little bit of sickness in our family, we get discouraged. We get the doubting. If there's a little bit of financial trouble, you know, what's God doing? God's not taking care of me. Why isn't God working this out? We have a little family trouble. We say, man, God's abandoned me. He's not even paying any attention. All these things. And we get so caught up and so much looking horizontal, looking at what's happening right here and what we can see, and we forget to look up. We forget to look to heaven. Forget to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget to love His appearing and all those things connected with it. And when we do, we live defeated. And God wants us to rejoice. You know what happened to those people that Jesus spoke to in Luke chapter 10? It wasn't very much later. They come back to Jesus saying, didn't work on this one. Discouraged. Didn't work. You know? And Jesus says, you know, those types come out only come out with fasting and prayer. But they were discouraged. They were confused. They were confounded. It didn't work. Didn't work this time, God. But that's because they're caught up in the present. They were caught up in that earthly ministry. They were caught up in what was going on. Listen, they were no better off than the religious leaders during that time. Because they were all looking for a Messiah who was going to feed them and take care of them and clothe them and take care of the problems down here. And the Lord Jesus Christ was coming to pay for our sins for eternity. Something that have eternal merit, eternal value. Here in our society, the reason this impresses me so much is because we live so much for the here and now, the present, give me, give me, give me. I want it now. The American society is made up that way. Listen, I got about 4 credit cards in my wallet right now. They're all paid, okay? They're all paid. But listen, what's all that about? To make it easy to gratify yourself right now. To get what you want right now. Why wait? Why wait when you can have it now? That's the American way. That's the new American way. The new American way. Because we're not looking on the heavenly. We're looking on the earthly. Far, far too often. Now, we don't need to. We don't need to. We have all these things waiting for us. We have all these things in our name. Are you going to live defeated? Or are you going to live a life that prepares yourself for meeting the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, as I look around, I'd say everybody in here is saved. I'm not going to make a judgment on that. But I'd say everybody in here makes a profession that they're saved. We got these things to look forward to. But we have a boatload of people that we love, that we're around every day, that these things are absolutely foreign to them. They're absolutely foreign to them. They don't have any idea about these things. All they know is right here and right now. And we have a responsibility to reach them. And we have a responsibility to present the gospel to them so that their names too might be written in the book of life, written in heaven, so they can look forward to these things. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your blessings. God, we're thankful for all these things that we have to look forward to. And Father, we get so entangled in this life. We get so entangled in our own little world and our own little problems. And Father, it seems like the smallest thing can discourage a person. But God, you're so powerful and so able to supply our needs. Lord, you've never, ever shown up late to come to our aid on time. Lord, you've always been on time. Lord, you've always supplied. Lord, you've always come through. And Father, even more important than that, you've prepared in eternity a place for us, a place reserved for us where we'll reign, we'll rule, a place reserved for us where with your Son we'll rule and reign. And God, a place for us with an inheritance, with riches, with comfort, with a sinless presence. And God, we're thankful for these things. God, I pray that you'd stir our hearts and you'd encourage us that we might win others to you. Lord, that we might be soul winners, might be folks who have a desire to see you save folks, see you take away their sins as you've taken away ours. God, I pray that you would cause us, Lord, to go out onto the streets and knock on doors and try to reach folks. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to redouble our efforts to win our family and the folks at work. God, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, we would acknowledge our friendship with Him and acknowledge what He's done for us, and that we might allow Him to draw our friends and loved ones to you. Lord, use us in these last days. We ask and we pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.